You'll be sitting out for the last one now. How many amens have you said? The only amens you have said will be like amen of agreement. Yeah, you're right. Amen, amen. That's all you have said. Nobody has pronounced a blessing upon your generations. The 1 hour. The woman is not going to come back. And she has to go somewhere. So the Lord shared the thing very nicely. And it's very important for us to recognize it. That's what I'm trying to say. So people say, I like the way Pastor Banky does. You do like that, your gift doesn't bless anybody. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. It just won't bless anybody. Yeah, I say Pastor Mark doesn't invite anybody to come for. Were you the one telling me that one young man went to side ministry? He was copying Bishop Oyedepo. And those that we used to listen to Bishop, Bishop will tell you that, I don't need anybody. Think you are giving offerings, God can do without you. Kingdom of God is moving forward. This young man went to his church. So I don't need all of you, so they stop coming. You say you don't need us. We have gone to where we are needed. They say we want to meet Papa. Papa said, go back and tell them you need them. And there's a proverb from Western Nigeria that goes like this, that the elder, the old man knows what he has eaten. By the time he starts telling you that, this food is enough. You give him, you know, one small piece of chicken, 1-2 cuts of plantain. And he said, no, it's enough. The proverb says, the old man knows what he has eaten. And you that's hungry, you follow the man. They said, the one that said, no, that's enough. You could just die of hunger. That's enough, die of hunger. Say, Papa, say, go and tell them you need them. Now, no, we can't all run our ministries the same way. That's what I want to emphasize. You don't make this decision, all right? Take action somebody has took. Each person has his own reasons for what he's doing. And while preaching, he may not. I mean, it's not everything about your life you want to disclose in the open. That's what I want to emphasize. There are gifts other people have. If maybe every time somebody is preaching here that, I was just sleeping and I dreamt and the Lord said, and I was praying, I began to see a vision, the Lord said, you now say you must see by force. You beg for familiar spirit too. Honestly, you are begging for familiar spirit. That's what's just going to happen to you. Next, you say, bro wants to see. They will come and act drama for you. All the familiar spirit will gather and say, what do you want to see? They will start dancing in front of you. A lot of people think that something they see is a sign of spirituality. It's not. That's just somebody's method. I don't use notes when I'm preaching. I preach, you know. I may have 1 or 2. If you see my outlines, you'll be surprised. Sometimes it's just literally 2 bullet points. Sometimes it's just 1 scripture I write down and I teach for 2 hours. And I'm not exaggerating. That's not exaggeration. I'm not joking about it. Okay, like this morning, I wrote nothing down. Nothing. Zero. Zap. Nothing. I just made up my mind that, okay, I'll read this particular scripture and pick up from there. But some of the men that bless me the most, they make extensive notes. Derek Prince used to make extensive notes. Ken Hagin used to make notes. He could deviate from his notes, but he used to make notes. I know preachers that don't make notes, they read out their whole sermon. That is, they write everything down ahead. And when they are preaching, they are reading it out. I have about 3 of them in my head now. If I'm more, if I think it, and people listen to them, they are blessed. We don't all have to do it exactly the same way. And the mistake we make a lot of times is that if somebody blesses you, you unconsciously want to be like the person. I went through that phase also, but of course, I don't know how I dropped it. You really can't help it much if you just listen to one person alone and you listen to him every time. You unconsciously will start, you need a lot of maturity not to just clone yourself, okay, that one entirely, okay? You can't help it. But I'm just trying to say that one of the ways you tackle that is just make sure that you are, I mean, you can't listen to only one person alone. And that's why when I'm teaching, you see, I give references. I give references. In fact, you know who I'm listening to most around at the time. If you listen to David Paulson, you just know this guy listens to David Paulson morning, afternoon, and night. Doesn't mean I agree 100% with everything he says, because he disagrees a bit with Ken Hagin, and I agree Ken Hagin in that area. And the reprint said it like this. Of course, we are all reading, we are all human beings. So, I read all kinds of people, listen to all of them. Recently, I said, I need to provoke some unction in my life. I downloaded a lot of T.D. Jakes. But after, he said, no matter what you are going through, you are still there, you are still saying hallelujah. And when he's preaching, the women make so much noise. After a while, look, I started getting tired. Can't you guys just sit down and let this man preach? But there are people that they've grown their beard like T.D. Jakes. Yeah, that's the only thing. They do their finger like T.D. Jakes. Laugh like T.D. Jakes. I used to laugh like Bishop Oedipo too. So it's not a sin. I'm just trying to say that it happens. One day I laughed. Not while I was preaching, though. Also my friend. That my friend, I said, I went to see Numa here. He said, look at him. He's laughing like Bishop. It was when he said it, it hit me. I just said, that's how Bishop laughs. Go and check. I'm a professional Bishop laugher. Go and check it. I know how to laugh like Bishop. That's how Bishop laughs. That's how he laughs. Go and check it. But those is, I listen to one person for 500 hours in just a space of like 8 months. Why won't you laugh like him? And I was tremendously blessed. But even then, after everything, I saw his ministry. And in my mind, I won't run ministry like this. Not that I thought it was wrong. No. But it didn't cross my mind for one moment, I would like to have this kind of ministry. No. From time, the people whose ministries I admired the most were men like, now, I'm not talking about their gift and anointing now, but the way they ran the structure. The one I admired the most from time was a man like Kenneth Hagin. He taught, he had a Bible school, he didn't pastor a church, he went around organizing seminars, and a lot of it, you can see, that's what we are beginning to do. Go to this place, and that's what he used to do, go around organizing seminars, then come back to his base, they had a Bible school, but he did not start a church. People talked and talked. Finally, one day, he listened to them. No, he didn't listen to them. He thought about it. That somebody said, it would be nice to just have a church here, you know. Very nice in premises. So he said, okay. I was just thinking about it. Next day, he went to the toilet. He wanted to ease himself. It was blood that came out. The man began to ease himself. Blood was flowing. Ah! And he's a man who believed in divine health very strongly. So he rebuked the blood, prayed, received. Mark chapter 11, whatever you shall pray, you know, believe you. Ah, he did, the blood didn't stop flowing. Ah. So he sat down and said, what is going on? And the Holy Spirit just spoke up in him. I warned you never to touch the idea of starting a church in Rima Bible Training Center. Never to start a church in your ministry. I told you, don't even touch it in your thought life. He said, but I wasn't planning to start. He said, but you were thinking about it. Ah, he said, Lord, okay, sorry. He said, he told the Lord, I'm sorry. And he said, since that day, I have not even thought, that is, I refuse to think about it. It was very important to the Lord. He didn't want him to even be tempted. There I heard that one from his message. I said, Omo, serving the Lord, no be smart thing. And the Lord said, not even in your thoughts. He had not made any plans. He had not discussed with his wife. Nothing. It was just the thinking that the Lord saw this boy is thinking about it. And the Lord came out hard on him. So he repented. His bleeding bladder stopped. And never came back. But some of the men who associated with him, they pastored large churches. He visited their churches. He blessed them. They cooperated with him when he would do his program. He would go to cities, they would help out. And they would come to, camp meeting to preach. But for him, it was different. Some preached like him, operated his kind of gifts, but they were pastors of churches. And the Lord was okay with that. Many people think that it's only when I have left working with Dangote, I will start ministry. What's wrong with doing ministry while you're in there? Launch our fellowship. Nobody's fighting. You know, I like Nigeria. They are afraid of God. Oh, Nigeria, they fear God. So when the boss wants to sack you, start a fellowship. He'll be like, hey, this pastor, now if I sack him now. Nigeria, they fear God. What is ministry? Must you hire a hall and people come and see you every week? Like they come to see Pastor Banky. Not necessarily. One of our brothers here, he said that... Where his work, he told me that yesterday, they do one, I think midday, meeting like once a week. And people, and his colleagues, his mates, are the ones gathering and is there teaching them the word of God. So when it was when we started, he came to me, asked for counsel. We discussed it. Ah, yeah, this is good. Oh, do it. And no way to preach. It's not hard. And the good thing about that, you don't pay rent. No NEPA bill. In fact, good enough. That's where you don't need offering yourself. All of you are working. What are you collecting offering for? All of you are working in the same place. You are using the premises. You just find that a space. So he brings out the Bible. Everybody brings out their Bible. Let us pray. They pray. He preaches. At the end of 1 hour, they share grace. See you guys next week. You are getting my point here? So ministry runs in different ways. Different ways. Watchman Nee was trained by a woman who was running ministry from her house. And the number of people that used to come there were no more than 7-8 at a time. How well she did, you don't need to ask further. She produced Watchman Nee. Everything Watchman Nee knew, she taught. Yes. That was a Priscilla. I think she was a white, that is an American woman that went to do like a Chinese missionary in China. So in her house, sitting room, some young Chinese boys would gather and she would be teaching. She would be teaching. Everything Watchman Nee learned, she taught. I'm not aware she wrote any book. But now you know all the books that have come out of Watchman Nee's life. That big volume, The Spiritual Man, volume 1, 2, 3. I bought mine those days. Then one day here, one brother came and gave me another one. So I have 2 copies. Watchman Nee. The Normal Christian Life, The Balanced Christian Life, the all kinds of things. The Release of the Spirit. There are all kinds of books. The foundation for everything Watchman Nee, now everything from that Watchman Nee learned at the beginning, she taught. That was the foundation. You're getting my point here? That was his foundation. So, how did she run her ministry? Simply, I don't know, maybe her husband was maybe she could go to the bush. I don't know. I can't remember whether she was married or anything. I don't know. Maybe her husband used to go to the bush and all of that, but she didn't used to leave the house. So the young men, they were never more than, the way I remember it, unless I'm mistaken, they were not up to 10. Watchman Nee was one of like 6 to 8 people that would sit down and she would teach. And that is ministry. So many days I'm looking for money to start ministry. If you don't have money, that's the Lord doesn't want you to use money. So that's what I just want to emphasize. We must publish the word everywhere. This is 2016. The Roman road is wide. People say Facebook is where you sell your product. Aha, it's good. What's our product, preachers? The word. So start selling on Facebook. There was a time everybody, you needed to pay for a website, you know, pay some money, but now you don't need it anymore. You go to Blogger, that's run by Google. It used to be called Blogspot. You go to Blogger, create your own blog. On WhatsApp, you popularize your blog. Tell all your friends, listen, I've written something. Go there and go and read it. Blogger charges you nothing. WhatsApp charges you nothing. Some people create a WhatsApp list of those who want to listen to them. Don't send messages to those who don't want to read it, I beg. I found out that these days, don't harass people with your messages. They are not reading it, they are deleting it. So, ask them to subscribe, you know, so that if they want, they will be getting it. You will know that they really want it, okay? You create something like that. That's another way. Email list. Of course, for those who do Facebook, fantastic. Me, I don't do Facebook. If you see Pastor Banky on Facebook, it's not me. It's just my name. Nothing wrong with Facebook. It's just that the first time I tried, it looked like, you know, Village Square. A global Village Square. According to Fariz Zakaria, global public square. And I couldn't stand everybody just saying anything they like to me. Now, like I said, it's just me. Nothing, there's nothing spiritual about it. I'm the one that just can't stand it. It's a good thing if you know how to manage. I hear you can defriend people. You can block people. You don't want them to talk to you. It's fine. I have nothing. It's good. I'm just trying to say that if you can use it, it's a good way to preach, to push out the teaching of truth. It's very, very important. There are so many avenues. I'm not trying to say that ministry, there are different ways to run ministries so that if we all do what we are supposed to do, believe me, the earth will literally be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. That's what I'm trying to explain. And then the word of God will be fulfilled, that I will pour my spirit on all flesh. I think I'm done. That's all I wanted to say for this morning. The Lord is good. Any question? On anything? Now, let's do something. If you want to write your question, Jonathan is very, very willing to give you a piece of paper. And then I will try and see what we can answer. Go ahead. Somebody says, when Jesus died, which curse did he break? Is it the curse on the earth or the curse on people? Both of them. Once it's a result of sin, it is broken. Now, there's a difference between God doing something and people appropriating it. Are you getting my point? God said to them, I have given you the land. Then what's the next thing you do? Go in and go and possess it. So a lot of times, it may appear as if the curse on the earth is not being broken. That is because people are not walking in the liberty. Because the effect you find on the earth is a result of what is inside people. Jesus died for the sins of a few people. True of us? Is everybody a Christian? Are you seeing what I'm saying here? He died for everybody, but not everybody is a believer. So if somebody believes today, did Jesus suddenly add his sin to the one he died for? No, it was there before. Yes, it is now that he believed. And that's what I preach about deliverance. Deliverance is for you to believe what has been given to you. You have been delivered. With a D. So did Jesus die for the sin, break the curse on people and on the earth? Yes, he did. On every single person and on the whole earth, he did. But are people appropriating it? Many people are not. The first thing is faith. I say we are the salt of the earth. What that means is that if we all believe and walk in the light of the word, then the earth will feel our effect. The earth itself doesn't have a curse in himself. God said, curse is the ground. Finish it for me. Because of you. So if you are blessed, the ground is automatically blessed too. That's the way it works. Somebody said, if you have a pastor who believes and promotes things you found not to be true, is it dishonesty to tell him you believe otherwise? Okay. Is it then not to tell him you believe otherwise, or do you have to tell him your position? Well, if you come here regularly and you start pointing out the things you disagree with me on, after a while I'll stop talking to you. You don't want to be corrected. The whole world. Do you know how many people disagree with me? I've gotten mails that told me I'm sending people to hellfire. I'm not joking. No. The man said, if I want to repent, I should write him so we can talk. What did I do? I said, laughing. That all this my preaching is a way of sending that people like me, there are many of us, he knows us, that we are leading people to hell. Now, what I did, I don't know. One wrote me and said that he doesn't like my wife's picture on our website. So I should remove it and find another one. Okay, look at all of you laughing now. So if I listen to everybody, I'm not kidding about it. Said the picture is not glorifying God. Those were his words. One wrote me and said, unbelievers don't have a spirit. That I'm just propagating what Ken Hagin and Kenyon said. That otherwise, unbelievers don't have, only Christians have a spirit. Unbeliever is just soul and body. What do you think I do? We just delete all these mails. You know, that's what I mean by you don't just go, look, you have your opinion. The guy who wrote that one, very nice guy. He first apologized that he doesn't think he has the right to talk to a man like me. And he's being blessed by my messages. He said, but he just wants to point something out. That heard me say that human beings are made of spirit, soul, and body. That's Ken Hagin that started it. That is not the Bible. I'm not kidding. No. He was very nice, very courteous in his writing. And he began to show. Initially, I wanted to reply to him and say, you've talked a lot. You have not supplied one scripture to back what you are saying. But I said, look, Panky, how many people will you be discussing with? Sometimes, a man that's that courteous, you will say, thank you very much for your meal. May the Lord bless you. He knows you have read it. The next time he hears you preach what you are preaching before, he decides that you are too stubborn. But doesn't know that you just disagree with him. And I have scripture, of course. I have scripture to tell him that you don't know what he has said. So that's what you think that because you are preaching, you think everybody agrees with you? One young boy wrote from Usuka. So I use words that don't glorify God. That I said I don't preach to unbelievers. That who will preach to them if I'm not preaching to them? Did you ever hear me say that? What I said is that my ministry, you understand, my teaching ministry is to Christians. You know, he just heard half of what I said and said, I don't preach to unbelievers. Did I answer him? Trust me, I did not. That's what I mean when I'm saying that, you know, some people are just, they are fault finders. They are those they call heresy hunters. They are in the U.S. Once they see Kingdom World Ministries, people are going there listening. They start listening to everything you are saying and start pick every scripture you quote out of order. They mark it down. Everything you say you do not agree with, they mark it down. They write it down, then create a website and say, heresy people. They put your name. They don't know you. If you see what they've done to Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Kenyon, they will tear those men to pieces. You'll be wondering, is it the same Kenneth Hagin I listen to? Tell that the man said he saw vision of God. Only satanic see visions. I see everyone last week saying that after John finishing his vision revelation, God stopped showing visions. Anybody who sees visions is seeing devils. Where have you people been? You think everybody's on your side? Okay. But that wake up the reality. He wrote it very articulately on the website. There's a book I'm writing, I took Guided by the Spirit. So I got it part of Visions and Revelations. So I wanted to just check other people's opinion about something. So that's what I do. So I check books, the books I have. So I went online. So that's how you get into all kinds of rubbish. Someone will tell you, there's one man, his website is dedicated to killing Kenneth Copeland. If Copeland sneezes, he will analyze the sneeze of Copeland on 26th November 2016. A man should inhale before sneezing. This man did not inhale. He said he used to work for Copeland. And apparently he's angry with the man, angry with the ministry. He said a ministry with one purpose in mind, expose the lies of Kenneth Copeland. And I've read all the lies. I cannot see what the problem is. I know this man has a personal problem. Okay. There are many out there. Just Google heresy hunters. Let me not bore you. I will give you all kinds of Jesus. You will just be laughing. Some said that the one man, Kurt Koch, I remember his name. He said Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, Catherine Kuhlman, William Aaron Braham, they are all mediumistic healers. Say they are mediumistic healers. And this man is a Bible teacher going around teaching Bible. Say, don't mind all these people, though. They are using Beelzebub to heal people. So get it clear. Now, so life bill. Paul said, I know once I leave, ravenous wolves will come in. And everything Paul preached that you are quoting today, the word of God and his Paul. Some people, their job was waiting for Paul to leave Ephesus. They were coming to undermine every single thing he said. So that's why I just want you to understand that when I said that, it's not everybody that corrects you, you listen to. You hear all kinds of things. However, having said that, to now answer this question directly, we can disagree on small things. I keep on emphasizing that to believers. You can disagree on small things. You don't have to correct everybody over every small thing. No. All right? Then secondly, if the thing doesn't really concern you, if somebody is not instructing you to do something, do you understand? It's not a big deal. You just let the man be. You're getting me? All right? It's only if it gets to a point, like I told you yesterday, when I was writing my book, Grace to Prosper. Look, I've been in churches. They say, okay, Pastor Banky, take the tithe. I carry my microphone. Who's paying the tithe this morning? All right? Come, I pray for you. I go to my seat. There's no problem. I don't have any issue with it. It doesn't kill people. Point them that if you don't do, you are going to hell. I say, will you stop that? That's our disagreements that start. So, but once it's one of these trivial things, you think should be 10%. I think it's anything. If you like, make it 50%. Well, to me, it's a small difference. It's not a big deal. Hobby Lobby's family, they were brought up to be strict tithers, and he believes that that's the foundation of their prosperity. David Green. And he'll explain it to you. He's not a Bible teacher, so it doesn't a big deal. He's a businessman. But he was brought up like that, and he's practiced it till today. David Green is the reason why you have U version of your Bible. That's what's the name of that Bible? The Bible now, that Bible U version. Family is a billionaire, probably worth over $4 billion, and they spend all their money promoting the gospel. But you can be sure the man doesn't use 10% to promote the gospel. He spends his whole life. That's what he lives for. He fought Barack Obama to the Supreme Court that I'm not paying for abortion. I'm sorry. He fought Barack Obama to the Supreme Court and won. You are getting my point? So we should be able to differ on small, small things. That's one thing. Some go around college. Somebody said that if I'm in the church, the pastor said, unbelievers don't have spirit. Don't worry, I'm not an unbeliever. I have spirit. Amen? Let's, at least we all agreed on that. And any unbeliever, I say, better come and get spirit too, because here you are going. you get my point? Uh-huh. However, I don't think you just be raising unnecessary dust. But then if something really, really offends your spirit, okay? That was why I was saying it the other day, although I didn't give details. That was why David Paulson left the church. I think the other Methodists or Baptists, where he was a Methodist. They do baby baptism. He said he can't do it. That is against his conscience. So he went to the elder and said, I'm not doing it again. And they said, well, you can't continue to be, I think Methodist, I'm not sure now. I think it's Methodist. Because they baptize babies. David Paulson said, well, I've read through the Bible. I think it is wrong to baptize babies. And so he stopped. They are still friends though, but just stopped being a minister. I think he became a Baptist minister after some time, but he moved around before he now went into his full-time independent ministry. You get what I'm saying? So, yes, definitely if something now becomes a matter, like my friend said in their church, they believe in praying in tongues and what they call groaning of the spirit. Now, groaning, if you came out, Ian Carl is a specialist in groaning because that's the church he came out from. Yeah, his church, they groan. And what they call groaning means that they will pray. Pray in English, pray in other tongues, then groan. Those are the three levels of prayer. Yeah. And these are the men are not joking. No. Am I lying? What's the big deal? You groan, I don't groan. But one of my friends was in the church for 21 years. One day she called me and said, I beg, she's having a problem. That the pastor has noticed that she does not join groaning. Because that's a very bottom of those things. So he now put her in charge of intercession so she can lead groaning. Now she comes and says, Banky, please, what am I supposed to do? You feel groan? She said, no. I didn't. So the lady said, she's been in church for 21 years. She doesn't have anything against groaning, but she doesn't believe it can be put on. No, of course, when passion grips your body, you go do things so. Now only groan. According to Ken Kata, you go carry chair like this, begin. You've not seen Ken Kata's music. Ken Kata will tell you to carry your chair, put on for head. So listen, if you can do things when the spirit grips you, but in the church, it's a rule. We go three stages, pray in tongues, pray in English, pray in tongues, then we groan. And my sister has been in that church for 21 years. I don't know when they began the groaning thing. But they now said, okay, this girl, we see you for back. You know they like to groan. So we'll now bring, and she was a leader in the church. So you'll now be in charge of intercession from next week. And I want to hear all the groaning. Now she called me and said, Banky, how far? I said, my sister, I feel your pain. I don't know what, can you groan? He said, no. I said, tell your pastor, you don't feel groan. You know, Christians are funny. Do you know that ended the relationship? Those are the things I'm saying. I don't think we should know what to emphasize on. You are the pastor, you are teaching people should groan. Let them groan. Those who are not one groan. You want them to deceive you. Those who are groaning with you, most of them are lying. Oh, they are lying now. Say, Pastor, hallelujah. We are going to groan right now. Everybody. Oh. Honestly, my sister left the church. Somebody said, well, how do you balance the matter of going to hell as being preached in many churches today? I don't know how they are preaching it. I can just, yeah, really. I mean it really. I'm not joking. I don't know what people are preaching. But there are a few things I can say. One is that what people call eternal security, I don't know what it means, really. What they mean is that once saved, always saved. Once you've given your life to Christ once, no matter what happens, your life remains with Christ. I think the Bible is clear enough that that cannot be true. Because Jesus warned against your name not being wiped away from the book. Yes. He specifically warned against it. He said, I will not erase their name. It shows that he has an eraser. Yes. I think for me, that's what solves it. But I don't like getting involved in that argument because I say, all right, what does it matter to me? Am I planning to walk in sin? so I can go to heaven. You get what I'm saying? For me, whether you say eating grass on the roadside kills or does not kill, I will not eat grass on the roadside. I'm not a goat. We should be discussing the things I want to do. If you say eating, some people say that drinking water before you finish eating dilutes your enzymes. Have you seen those kind of jokes before? You should drink water 2 hours after eating so as not to dilute your enzyme. And that kind of way I fight, because I have to drink my water. And I've been drinking water with my food for the last 30 years and my enzymes have not yet been diluted. All right? So if that's not my issue, I don't enjoy sin because I'm not an unbeliever, then whether they go to hell or heaven or not doesn't really matter to me. I want to be the best that I can be for the Lord Jesus. But having said that, I don't think it's true that God doesn't write people's names. If you read Hebrews chapter 6, when he was talking about being unable to renew them to repentance, then they are waiting only for them judgment. That tells you that God actually wipes people's names out. But as something I also said before, anybody that wants to sin and still go to heaven was never born again. You're getting my point? So there's faith that doesn't save you. No, we've been talking about it. James said there are many people that have faith that does not save. They are in church, they are being promoted, they are ministers, they lay hands on the sick, sometimes they recover, demons leave. The last day, they come. Did we not cast out demons in your name? Jesus said, you. You? What's your name again? Oh, he said, my name is so and so. Oh, the doer of iniquity. Gabriel, hand this guy over to Satan. And then burn him small. He said, get away from me. I never knew you. You doer of iniquity. But they were doing things in his name. So that's what I just have to say about that. All right? Somebody said, what do you think about joining the Jews in their festivals? I think it is madness. Yeah, someone said churches do Feast of Tabernacles. I think, you know, people have gone crazy. I don't know. We carry this Judaism to a kind of place. I don't get it. So, if you're an evangelist to Jews and you want to go and catch them, because I know I read of a man who goes for Hajj. He's a Christian. He doesn't believe Muhammad is the final prophet or anything. He's a believer. But God gave him a passion for Muslims. And for that reason, he goes for Hajj every year. He doesn't miss Hajj. When you are praying to reach the world with the gospel, he prays only for Muslims. That's what's in his heart. Hajj time, he buys his ticket. Now, Mecca is a place where for a non-Muslim to enter is a death penalty offense. You can enter Saudi Arabia, no problem. But Mecca is supposed to be holy. You must have believed in Muhammad as a prophet for you to enter it. And his own, how did he get to be able to go? Because somebody one day was preparing his passport, looked at him, assumed he was a Muslim, stamped his name as a Muslim. So he took it as a sign from God. He took his passport, he didn't correct it and left. Because, you know, his garb, he's everywhere, he dresses like people in that area. So the man just assumed he was a Muslim, arranging his passport, stamped that he was a Muslim. So that became his ticket to go anywhere he wanted. And he goes for Hajj every year. And what does he do? He prays for people. One of them, when he's 2 million people milling, he's joining them. He's milling around, tells the person next to him as the Spirit leads him. How are you? You have any problem? My brother, I came here. My whole family is scattered. I'm just saying whether God will have mercy on me. No problem. He will have mercy. Do you want me to pray with you? And they are walking. And the person says, yes, let me have your hand. Oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you. I pray in the name of Jesus because I believe that that's how God answers prayers. And they said they never refuse. In Mecca, we pray with the person. While everybody is milling around, he prays with the person. He has introduced the person to the Lord and he leaves him. Catches the next fellow. That's what he does for the next few days. And they've never caught him. So if you are doing your Feast of Tabernacle with that kind of attitude, I have no problem. But if it is that Christians, it's Feast of Tabernacle time, let's get ready. Listen to me. It is an insult on the Lord Jesus and it's a clear sin. Paul warned against it specifically. Let's get that clear. Somebody said, is it right to pray and find out where God wants you to be geographically, even though you are walking somewhere? Of course. If you don't feel you're in the right place, believe me, you should pray. And it's very important to the Lord where you are. There was a time I wanted to leave Lagos and go down to the north, you know, to around Jos area. And I went to church that day. By the time I finally listened to the message, I just realized that the Lord was saying, in effect, Banky, you're not going anywhere. Stay in Lagos. So I stayed. When I finished my training, let me not bore you with the details, the Lord showed me two different methods that I'm supposed to go to Enugu. And I'm in Enugu now because I believe that's where the Lord wants to be. So you should pray. I mean, Pastor Murphy gave us a testimony of how he arrived in Enugu last year when we were talking. Was it there? When we were in... time flies though. Okay. 2 years. No, when you gave us the story. That's when you were teaching at the minister's meeting, Sunshine. So if you were there, then he gave us the details of it. So you see, God picks your geography. So if you feel you're not in the right place, please pray. Please, you need to. You need to. It's very, very important you do that. Okay? Somebody said, what's your take on harvest and Thanksgiving being celebrated by churches? It's one of those small things that I say, it's not a big deal. No, nobody to come and dance. Is dancing not good? To worship God, is it not good? And to give offering to church, is it not good? Overlook those are those things that cause small, small things. It's not as if you don't do it, you are not going to hell. All right? And occasionally, actually, I believe in declaring the day of Thanksgiving for a congregation. I think it's good. But I think it's the harvest. It was, we Pentecostals took it out from Orthodox churches. But it's not one of those bad things. Not a big deal. I don't think so. Thanksgiving is supposed to be every day, but I think it's good to take a day. See, let me just say something. Let's not be fastidious about money matters in most churches. They say members must pay now. If you don't want to pay, tell them, say, sorry, I can't pay. It's not a hellfire matter. Are you getting my point? But brethren should be able to agree. I mean, a department, if people say, okay, let's contribute money for somebody's wedding. Yes, I contribute. My classmates just did, we did our 25th year graduation reunion for my class. We graduated in 1991. So we met back in Uniben. Of course, we contributed a lot of money. So we levied each other, and the university recognized us. The alumni of Uniben gave us a plaque because nobody had done what we did. Understand? And we came, met the VC, met the dean, met the provost. They gave us a certificate to recognize that the dean said he's hoping that other classes were emulators. Of course, there's always a class being 25 years every year. So that is that if every class did this, they say Uniben will not be, that the College of Medicine won't be the same again. So there's nothing wrong with it. If a church decides to do that, okay? I don't think we should. These are not big things that we worry ourselves about. All right, the Lord is good. I think we're done. Thank you very much.